Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number 2.5. It is The Fan After Dark right here on 105.3 The Fan on a Monday night. Let's not bury the lead, boys. Rangers, 0. Orioles, 6. And the beat goes on. I'm Fred. That's Blake. We got our boy Khaki Kev behind the glass on the 1-2s and 3s. And our first... Wait a minute. How many in-studio guests have we had that weren't Bobby Belt?
We had a comedian.
We had our boy, a boss.
A boss.
Now, that was on a weekend, though.
Yeah.
That was a weekend show. But I'm talking about a Monday through Friday.
Hmm.
Have we had, is this, are we break? Are we popping our in-studio cherry right now?
I think we might be.
I think so.
Our ISC.
Grant, has it been as enjoyable for you as it's been for us?
Yeah, it's been fun for sure.
Okay, all right. That's what we'll talking about. We will absolutely take
Be
it. That
funny
is.
If you said no.
I'm sorry. What?
It'd be kind of funny if he did say no.
That would, right?
He's like, I'm actually,
you know, guys,
kind of getting a little late.
There's a podcast I listen to and seemed a lot more fun than this one.
Our boy Grant Afseth, you may also know him as Grant Affleck, related to Ben's foster brother. DallasHoopsJournal.com. DallasHoopsJournal.com. That's the website. Go check it out. It is the absolute best when it comes to talking all things.
You know what?
Dallas Mavericks.
I'm going to go ahead and say this.
Say it.
Hopefully it doesn't offend anybody.
Already offended.
I'm not just saying this because I'm not pandering because he's in front of us.
It kind of sounds like you are already.
I don't know what I'm going to say.
I
feel like it's hard for you to call yourself a true sports fan and not a casual if you're not following one of the best beat reporters for the Dallas Mavericks.
Quite pandering, but I agree.
I mean, even if you want to follow Grant plus all the other great beat reporters.
Well, you have to.
It's just hard. Like, when I run into people, oh, I listen, or I love the Mavericks. Oh, I didn't even know this guy was out. Okay, well, you think Kyrie, who's been out for the last 3 months, is going to play tomorrow, but you say you're a Mavericks fan?
Oh, look, I am always flabbergasted when people try to tell you what a sports fan they are, and then, Rangers are just knocking on the door first place, aren't they? Okay, you know what? Just stop. Stop talking to me. Stop talking to you.
Derek Lively's going to go off tomorrow. The guy who hasn't played in 2 months because of the foot injury. He's going to go off tomorrow.
Pretend we didn't meet. That's usually what I tell people.
Can you brainwash this from both of us? You're hurting my head. One thing we don't want to brainwash is who the Mavericks will be picking on Wednesday. Cooper Flagg. Talk to the people about any conversations you've had about him, kind of what he is. I think everyone knows. No weaknesses game. The guy from Duke. Maybe some things we don't know about Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, I think for the most part, a lot of stuff I'm sure you know is probably as much as I do about him to an extent, because I've talked to some people who watched him pretty extensively with the draft, with Duke, all those things. So I think overall he's an extremely versatile defender, someone who, you know, can be a really talented off-ball player, like rotate from the corner, blow up plays as a weak side guy. He's someone who can guard multiple positions, get into the ball, all that good stuff, and it's rare at 6'9". So Offensively, he can score from all three levels. I think his three-point shooting is improved and something that you know, he's still continuing to fine-tune, but just really, really talented, gets to the rim, super explosive. I think checks, as you said, every box that you would want in a wing player. So really exciting for him to be landing in Dallas.
From the, let's see, what is it? From the 702, Flag is going to be 32. Anyone that follows him knows it. Okay, well, I guess 702 just solidified it. So, breaking news, Grant. I don't know if you want to add this to Dallas Hoops Journal. I'll give you this guy's phone number if you want to go ahead and maybe he can be a contributing writer to the website. But apparently anybody that follows him knows he'll be 32. So, breaking news.
I mean, it's probably very likely, but, you know, when you ask, is it official?
Yeah,
that's he ain't
true.
Even a Maverick
see,
yet.
See, look
so.
At him. That's, oh, I'll tell you what.
Let's
I love
talk
this.
About.
Somebody asked if the kid from Duke is actually Konka Nipple.
Wrong.
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 Let's maybe talk if you're about, Charlotte, I don't know.
The other Mavericks news that came out today, Daniel Gafford signing a 3-year up to $60 million, $54 million contract extension. Why did the Mavs do this? We know that there was some rumors about maybe trading him that was floated around there. What does this deal tell you about the Mavericks and the future of Gafford here and kind of what the Mavericks team building is right now?
I think it's pretty much the same for the most part because they've wanted to keep PJ Daniel ideally, and 3 years contract extension signs him through 2028-29, but it doesn't make him ineligible to be traded, so they still have the option if they end up, you know, mid-season deciding, you know, maybe we don't need this many bigs or we want to pivot to a different style. They still have that option, and you know, that's something that you know, is pretty important when you're bringing in number one pick and trying to see not only, you know, what's best to win, but also what's best to get the most out of this generational talent that you didn't fully expect to be able to have the opportunity to select. So I definitely think having that option makes it to where you don't fully, you know, have like a commitment, but you also have the option of being able to make a trade if you want to.
Where are we at on the Jaden Hardy experience?
Well, I think... Yeah, he's going to have a deal that starts this season as well. I think, you know, ideally you would want someone to consistently crack the rotation, especially when there's been injuries. I think, you know, they really wanted him to, you know, grow as someone who can handle point guard responsibilities, you know, make those low man reads, things of that nature. But, you know, I think they've gone with some vets over him as well. And, you know, I think they're looking for experience. So it might still be tough for him to, you know,
still?
Be able, yeah. Am I
okay? That
just broke Blake's heart.
No, it didn't. No, I've moved on.
You're off the Jaden Hardy train.
Don't get it wrong. I'm a Hardy party guy, day in and day out. I'm there. But after watching last season and every player getting hurt and he still wasn't playing.
Oh, boy. Okay. I tell you, that hurt my heart.
So I do this experience all the time by myself, sometimes on the radio. And who better to do it with than a guy who covers the team all the time? Let's build the Mavericks roster going into next year. This is game one. So Kyrie's hurt. We're aware of that. We're just going to pencil him in somewhere on the roster.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Hold that thought.
I'm holding it.
Where are we at with the J. Rue Holiday stuff?
He calls Drew Holiday J. Rue.
That's right. J. Rue the Damager.
I think for the most part, with them being an over the second apron team, it would be really hard because to be able to acquire him. So I don't really think that's much of an option.
Right.
I think it's something that, like, you know, like
click
this
bait.
Time. Well, this time of year, you can like express interest in just about anybody. For the most part, some of it's like really legitimate.
Shout
sometimes,
out to the Knicks.
Yeah. So, sometimes it's just like Laker jersey swaps or Knicks jersey swaps.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, I think I'm sure a lot of teams would let it get them, but that contract, it's. It could be really challenging because they're not going to be able to aggregate salaries. Right.
They can't take back because they're second apron, so they can't just do a swap. They want to get under the second apron, but also with all this.
Yeah, you would have to do that
things.
And then make the trade. If my understanding is correct, so I think that'd be really a lot of obstacles to climb.
The Mavericks, since they're getting the first pick, they're going to be a little bit over the second apron if they were to do nothing with the roster, even with this extension. Correct, even with the Gafford extension, they're still going to be a second apron team if they were to do nothing.
Yeah.
So how much money do they need to move around to not be a second apron team going into next year?
I don't have the exact numbers.
I think it's five, six
million. I think it's more than like Dwight Powell's like $4 million contract. So like, so, you know, like that makes it more complicated because then you're like in a situation where it's not just one player because ideally all the players making above that level, I'm sure they would like to retain, unless they find, you know, like a taker for, you know, like a Jaden Hardy or something like that, if that's what they wanted to do. So I think that it gets a little complicated when you're needing to also be an asset depleted team that gets off salary. And then still want to acquire more talent as well. That's not like in the free agency market.
All right, let's build this rotation, Grant. Y'all can play along with us. If you disagree with anything me, Grant, and Fred say, text into the show. You think this player should get more minutes, should be there, should get traded, whatever it may be. And I have a feeling we'll have some disagreements. All right, your starting point guard, we'll wait because that one can be a little interesting. We'll tease that. Your starting two, your starting three, your starting four is who, if Grant had to make the roster, or I won't say if Grant had to make the roster, your prediction of who's going to be your two through four in your starting lineup game one.
That perimeter gets complicated very fast because Cooper Flagg.
Does he start day one?
I would think so.
Okay. Are we putting him at the two,
he
three, or four?
Better start day one.
I agree. I'm asking Grant. Two, three,
so then
or four,
you get into
start.
That. It all kind of goes with Anthony Davis and his, you know, playing the four.
We're starting AD at the four?
Yeah. So
okay.
Then
pencil that in.
So then that becomes a situation where you're going to have another big, obviously. So
we're doing Gafford or Lively? Mr. Contract or Mr. Youngbuck? His Duke teammate?
Yeah, I think I would probably guess Lively.
Okay.
I think,
you think?
Yeah, they've been kind of going like back and forth. Like that, neither of them have like full time.
Yeah.
Been so.
I'll put Gafford
probably
as your backup
camp.
Center.
Yeah, a training camp situation. So they're kind of interchangeable. So
we got AD and Lively in the starting lineup. Who are their three counterparts?
Yeah, that's the really tricky part because PJ Washington has been starting at the three, you know, alongside AD after the trade as well. So I would think if you have Cooper Flagg at the two is
okay.
My guess.
Flagg at the two, got it. Writing it down. Because
that seems to be what. You know, some subtle hints, you know, from Jason Kidd and like, you know, talking about, you know, possibilities with size. Mm-hmm. So then you get into it either, you know, Klay Thompson or PJ Washington on that wing. And I think if I had a guess, I would probably say PJ for the defensive versatility.
There we go.
Yeah. And that, but they have some options at least.
Of course.
You know, if they want the shooting,
they
can go Klay and it gets weird.
So in this situation, we have Lively, AD, PJ, and Flagg. Who is your starting point guard day one for the Dallas Mavericks this year? 2025-2026.
So the healthy options that they have, Brandon Williams is an option. They don't have Spencer Dinwiddie or Dante Exum under contract. So if I had to guess, it would probably be someone that's not on the roster, obviously, you know, like...
We'll put free agent.
Yeah, some either trade acquisition
what
or something
like that.
What about
the Chris Paul smoke we keep hearing?
Well, if you look back at kind of his decision-making for teams, I think he wants to be, you know, in L.A. near his family.
Yeah.
That complicates it with, you know, being in Dallas, of course. And then I think they're not going to have the most to spend as well. It's going to be a little tricky... with them needing to clear some room to get access to exceptions. So if they can't, you know, financially, you know, be competitive with some other teams, I don't know if they check enough boxes. I think they would, you know, probably.
Really?
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, if you think about the marketplace, if he wants to be in L.A., do either of them necessarily, like, James Harden checks the box for the Clippers.
Right.
Already is a lead ball handler. I'm sure Chris Paul would like to continue to start. That's something that he's maintained throughout each of his stops. And he hasn't taken pay cuts either yet. Like he's maintained as much as possible.
Crazy.
Yeah. So
which
like
God bless him. Hey, if they're willing to pay you.
Yeah, he's been done a phenomenal job of like maintaining starting
games.
And the compensation as well. So the Lakers, I don't think that they already have Luka, Austin Reeves. So
seriously.
But, yeah, like I don't.
I mean, I know he's wanted to play with LeBron for the last 30 years, but I mean, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, bring 2010 back, I guess. Why not?
So I think it'd be a matter of like if the marketplace kind of settles itself out and you're like at the table and you're like, here are my options. And it's like, okay, well, the Mavericks, I can start a lot of these games. They can pay me, you know, X amount of money and like it just looks better. I can play with AD and like, you know, all that stuff. So
that's what I'm saying. I mean, I would think from his perspective, look, no state income tax. Which, that's a factor, right? I mean, hell, I remember when Dwight Howard went to the Rockets. He cited that as one of the reasons why he came to Houston was because, you know, and of course, he had, you know, 8 child support payments on top of that. So, you know, you can save money wherever you can. I would think that that could help level the playing field. And, oh, by the way, 20 years in the league, who gives you a better chance to win a title next year? The Lakers or the Mavericks?
That's up for debate. That's up for it. We'll circle back to the point guard discussion because there's a name I'm going to throw out to Grant and see if he agrees with me.
I already know which one you're talking about.
I got free agent slash guy who's not on the team as your starting point guard. Cooper Flagg, PJ, AD Lively. I personally love that. That's what I would do. I would do exactly what you just said. I'd 5 for 5 on that one. On the bench, you've got Gafford. And then who's backing up your whatever free agent point guard you get or trade acquisition point guard? Who's going to be the one replenishing him?
It seems like Jason Kidd likes Brandon Williams a lot.
So no, he does. Same page. Yeah. Be Will.
He loved him up here when he was on KNC, and he talked about how much he had been pretty much like a sponge to Kyrie and is basically like in Kyrie's hip pocket.
So who is backing up Cooper Flagg and PJ at those two kind of wing positions? You're going Clay. You got Max Christie.
I forget Najee.
Yeah,
that's the other.
Is that your three, Clay, Max, Christie, and Najee? And you can kind of interchange them.
Well, they also have Caleb Martin to take into consideration.
Blake's favorite Maverick, by the way, is Caleb Martin.
So that's where I feel you have a consolidation need, mm-hmm. like to probably address that point guard, probably one of those wings.
Somebody's getting shipped out, right? Yeah, I mean, you can't have that log jam.
Okay, so we got Clay, Max, Najee, and we got Caleb Martin kind of as an odd man out, and Jaden Hardy. Did I miss anybody that's under contract that I didn't mention?
Omax.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they got some pieces where it's like, I don't know, like they're going to have to kill it in camp, if that makes sense.
So out of all those guys.
What about Kai Jones? What's his future look like here with the Mavericks?
I would too. But I guess the Gafford extension kind of, or I mean, you have three centers.
Well, or, you know, to your point, the fact that just because you made that extension doesn't mean you can't move him. And, oh, by the way, you know, 3 years, $54 million. What is that, $18 million or something like that a year?
Yeah, 18 million.
I mean, look, in the grand scheme of the NBA, I mean, let's think about it. Are there five centers better or more versatile than Daniel Gafford?
Best center in the league right there. Okay, the point guard I wanted, Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball?
Fact or fiction, that'd be a good fit money-wise, you know, all the stuff that goes into it. Do you think it's a reasonable expectation?
Well, I think there's a couple names where it's like injury history. That's something that, you know, if you're really trying to get by without Kyrie playing until like whatever it may be based off how his recovery goes, like January, something like that, you got to be really confident in the durability element. So I think someone like him or Malcolm Brogdon, you'd have to take into consideration that durability basketball-wise. I think he would be a, you know, really solid fit if they want to play fast and, you know, have him, you know, push the pace.
Might be a better thing when, like, Kyrie's healthy and he's, like, he's coming out the bench slash starting. But I get your point of when he's not there, you're kind of just have another injury-prone guy.
Yeah, that's another element you got to factor in as well, too, though, because it's like if you're committing to the Mavericks, you know Kyrie will be back at some point. So you got to be cognizant of what the outlook looks like for you when that happens as well. So you got to probably target a player that can play with Kyrie as well.
My last question, and then I'll hand out to Fred and we'll get out of here. Out of the guys that we mentioned, looking more at the guys on the bench, the Clays, the Max Christie, the Najee, and we'll throw in Caleb Martin and the rest of the guys. Who gets shipped? Who's first on that trade block if you were Mavs GM or making your predictions to upgrade that point guard position or maybe another position?
Well, I think Caleb Martin would probably be the...
Circle him?
Yeah, from a contract standpoint, probably him. If I was in a GM situation and I traded for Max Christie in part of a Luka Doncic trade, I can't...
So he's staying.
I can't.
So Max is safe. Yeah. So Clay, Najee, and I guess Hardy. I don't know how much trade value he has, but really Clay and Najee. Are both of those guys on the Mavericks throughout the whole season next year?
I feel like Najee Marshall. Yeah, I think he can play a lot of different spots. So I think that
he didn't say Klay Thompson.
Well, it's
you're not gonna hurt any feelings here. I'm on the Klay isn't the best fit, but I want your take on it.
It's odd because his team is gonna need shooting,
agreed,
like, badly, and he's gonna need, you know, like playmaking. They're not gonna have great facilitation, you know, now that Luka, you know, is in LA and Kyrie's going to be out, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So, yes.
You need somebody that can shoot the rock.
Yeah, you definitely do. That's kind of where.
Give me Trey Murphy or Herb Jones, man.
All right.
hold that thought. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line. We got a handful of y'all that have texted in. Go ahead and text in your questions to Grant right now. You've heard plenty of questions from myself and Mr. Blake Elliott. What say you, the Tolo, the Fatty? What do you want to ask Grant? We got a handful of y'all that have already sent some questions in. We'll ask those as well as more to come. And we'll get into a little bit more of the Klay Thompson conversation as well. Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan After Dark.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole timeline is Dallas Mavericks right now. Daniel Gafford,
as it should be,
signs a 3-year, $54 million extension. People have their thoughts on that. Are they cooking something up? Are they trying to trade him? What does this mean for Derek Lively? What does this mean for the rest of the team? Also, a news that we didn't get to. Listen to the Fan After Dark. Fred Davis sitting across from me. Khaki Kev behind the glass. We got Grant Asseth in studio. He's been hanging out with us since really for almost the whole show, hanging out with us and talking all things Dallas Mavericks and NBA. We didn't get a chance to get into this.
Well, we did no show prep, so that's why I figured let's just have Grant stick around for as long as he wants.
Yeah. while you're on the phone for 9 hours. Cag, I walk up to this guy's car, and I'm like, what is this guy? And this guy rolls down the window like I'm a homeless guy asking for change.
Dude, you don't understand. I was at my other job. I texted Fred. I said, hey, what time are you going to get there? He's like, around 7. I was like, oh, that's smart.
I said 7-ish.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, smart, because the Rangers will probably be quick.
And the Rangers are terrible.
Yeah. I'm sitting here, and I'm like, it's way past 7, and I don't see Fred. I don't know what's going on.
He was just sitting in
busy afternoon. Busy afternoon.
Kyrie Irving has until tomorrow to opt into his player option deal. What's kind of the vibes around that?
Well, I think the expectation is that he'll stay. I think there's some frameworks that they can work with. I think before his injury, there was kind of some expectation from people that I had talked to that maybe he would match the timeline of Anthony Davis, like a 2+1 contract. But that was obviously before the injury. I still think the long-term goal is to stay, but there are some different options where he can opt in, still sign a small extension in terms of years, or if he wants to sacrifice a little bit to give the Mavs more breathing room, he could just opt out and then get a new contract worked out. So there's just some different options, and we'll definitely know a little more about that tomorrow. But I do think regardless, the goal is staying for the next couple years minimum.
Do you think Kyrie Irving is heavily factoring the Mavericks are at the second apron? I'm going to be out for a while. I want them to go get another player. Or, hey, I got all the leverage and I want the most amount of money that I can get out of this. I'm going to opt out and try to get a lot of money out of this contract. I think we all agree that he's going to stay. But how much of that money, because what is it, a $55 million player option?
43. Something
43.
Like that.
Oh, yeah, wow. That 43. Was 43 million, because it was 43 to 45. Yeah. his player option. Do you that's a little bit of a difference.
What are you talking about?
Thinking NFL money. How much of, you know what? I don't even
remember. Yeah, he's getting the quarterback franchise tag, I think, is what they're going to slap him. It's never been happened in the NBA. I can't wait. Grant, you didn't hear that? You didn't hear that news? Heard it here first. Breaking news.
How much of the money that he could get from the player option do you think will be different if he were to opt out and redo a contract with the Mavs? Or do you think it'll be around the same dollar amount?
I think it'll probably be very similar. You know, I don't know like exact specifics on it, but I think partly when these sacrifices happen, there's usually some plan, you know, ahead of time. So if he feels that it's worth it, like there's, you know, actual options that are attainable that would be, you know, a difference maker on the roster, you know, perhaps, you know, a little bit of a sacrifice on there, which, you know, he does take pride in recruiting.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's someone that, you know, obviously wants to win as well. So I think definitely be interested to see how it plays out, though. But yeah, I don't think it'd be like a massive sacrifice by any means. But there's a little bit of breathing room that could be done. You know, take off like maybe like a couple $1 million, things of that nature, where you know, you move another piece, opens up a little more spending room with the, you know, the cap exceptions and things of that nature, like MLE, full MLE, stuff like that. So, yeah, they'll have to run through those scenarios with him for sure.
Speaking of moving pieces, I just saw this on my timeline. I don't know if this is a rumor or this is coming out. It looks like the Mavs, we know, are trying to move back into the first round to maybe get another player. We've heard a bunch of rumblings about that. I'm a fan of that, mm-hmm. whether it be Walter Clayton, Proctor, and Cooper Flagg's teammate. And the name getting thrown out is maybe a Caleb Martin getting moved for said draft pick. What are the chances that the Mavs move back into the first round? Kind of what are some things you're hearing around that? Or is that just smoke and you think it's Cooper Flagg and they're going to move on with their draft process?
Well, the thing with a lot of this stuff at this time, there's a lot of scenarios that teams would like to do. And, you know, they made calls and all that stuff. And it takes a lot of, for some of those harder, you know, trades, things to play out. And with them, they're not in a position to necessarily take on like bad contracts because they are in a position where they need to, you know, shed some money. So they're not probably going to be able to do something like they did with the Sacramento Kings a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They took on a Rashawn Holmes contract, yep. and were compensated to do so. And then took Omax. Yep. And that's usually how you can get it done, or you have like legitimate value that you're sending out for a contender that's trying
Caleb
to add a
Martin,
role player.
Caleb Martin, man, he's legitimate value, right?
He absolutely is.
Somebody wants him.
I mean, if
on
you
the bench.
Like, they would probably have to move, you know, somebody that can fit, you know, one of those rotation spots that's, you know, but teams are getting stingy with those draft picks now. Yeah, like they're not trying to just like throw around
unless
for, like,
they're
the
second
eighth,
round
ninth,
picks.
Man. Yeah, yes.
Five, you know, of them. I mean, if you probably find three or four floating around, let's just go ahead and throw them in for somebody.
I mean, if it's a 36th pick, you can just throw 35th, 36th, throw
all
it on Caleb Martin.
Day.
Or, I mean, on Quentin Grimes.
You know?
You know, it's nothing.
Here's my question for you. All right. And, look, I know we're 24 hours removed from the NBA Finals. And, you know, for a Mavericks team that's been in flux the way it has over the last 6 months, this team's going to look very different after Wednesday. In the next 48 hours, right?
40 hours from now, this Mavericks team, once we can finally see, once you can say, all right, we're done with the speculation, Cooper Flagg is now a Dallas Maverick, then we can in earnest start the where's he going to go, or, you know, where's he going to go in the lineup, yada, yada, yada. Given the experiment you guys did earlier about what this lineup's going to look like, you know, top to bottom, this much we can't say. Yes, while we know Nico Lucatrade notwithstanding, okay, Nico's a pretty decent GM. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, no, I think they've had quite a bit of successful moves in the last couple of years.
Why do you think, and maybe it's the Kyrie injury, but why do you think teams seem, why are the Mavericks getting lost in the shuffle when it comes to Western Conference contenders next year?
I think a lot of it has to do with the lack of draft picks. Like some of these teams patiently like stacked picks,
yeah.
even though they had like a... like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like they still, the Thunder still were patient and continue to take on bad contracts,
yeah.
add money. And I think, you know, Luka off the rip was such a fantastic player to where it's like, you're not really in that position. You want to win. There's pressure to win.
Yeah.
And that's where it's kind of complicated because they've made win now trades for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got rid of him.
Still stuck with those pieces.
Yeah. yeah. So, and then now they're not necessarily like, the clean, like if you're making the, like a thought exercise, like let's build the perfect team around Anthony Davis, that's not really like the roster, like the vertical lob threat, space out, versatile guys like that you had around Luka. Like you may have to rethink some of the type of pieces that you would have. Right. So that's now some of those players still have, you know, trade value, of course. So you could recoup some assets, but when they're your own picks and you're in a timeline where, you know, you're focused on winning with Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, it gets complicated. Now it's a little easier. The value of those picks probably for other teams is diminished more because, you know, winning the lottery with Cooper Flagg, that changes the outlook for past the next 3 years pretty significantly. So, I think they've had some successful moves, but something that I think a critique would be is that he's cleaned up a good amount of his mistakes.
Yeah.
Like Grant Williams didn't work out. You burn an asset for that. And then you go get PJ Washington and you're compensating for the trade. Now you're basically paying to clean up the mistake, if you will, of a piece that didn't fit.
Yeah.
And then the center position was a significant challenge early. Like they used a late first round pick to move a bunch of expirings to get Christian Wood. And then that didn't, you know, that lasted one season. Right. So, you know, that was probably the start where you can start the transaction tree, if you will, of like the center position. And then they've sent, you know, an asset to get Daniel Gafford.
Yeah.
They, you know, tanked a little bit and right. then got Derek Lively.
So but it
that,
worked.
Yeah, it worked. So that they've gotten good players. But I guess if you're kind of picking apart, you would say there's been kind of cleanup work done of the initial mistakes, and not everyone's going to be perfect with the GM, you know, decision making, but that's probably where you look back and you would think, okay, if we got this right the first time, we would still have this and this asset. And would have be more in a position to, you know, position the roster with some of those like trades that you're seeing now, like Desmond Bane going for like
four first round picks
and a swap and all that stuff. Like, you would be in a position to maybe make a crazy trade like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think it was a good trade, but so I'm not calling like that trade crazy, but I'm saying like you're just,
I will. I thought it was crazy
to an extent, but like the East is so open.
But I get it now. You know, I mean, like, I understand. You got to overpay. KCP's
bad contract too, taking on that.
He's geeked about playing in Memphis. Apparently I heard him say that the other day. I guess what I'm saying is this, the Mavericks have this, are uniquely positioned, right? Because you can win next year. Like we get it. You're the number one, you know, you are the number one pick, but you're not the Wizards, okay? You're not the Hawks. You're not the Hornets. Like, and we get it. Kyrie's out till March, but we all trust that Nico will go out and get a point guard in some form or fashion. I mean, you got to the play-in game with, you know, as Blake learned last week, with duct tape and bailing wire. Okay.
No, yeah, Anthony Davis was grabbing at his
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, let's call it what it is.
Battling through that.
And really, if it wasn't been for the Suns' total collapse, I mean, you know, you wouldn't have been in that position. You got to feel like, all right, can I get 60 games out of AD? We feel somewhat comfortable that Nico's going to make a trade of some sort. Like you said, we know we have this log jam of players that, you know, there's got to be enough time for. You got Cooper Flagg coming in. Like, this is a team that should be able to contend for the next year or two. And then you're obviously going to have to adjust on the fly as you continue to build around Cooper Flagg. And hold that thought because we're up against it. One more segment. We've held you here for 2 hours. I mean, it's almost like this guy's going to send out an SOS. We are the official show of the DPD, though, so I don't know if they're going to help you or not. Nonetheless, final segment with our boy Grant Affleck coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Fan After Dark.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Little bit of breaking news here in the NBA. And who better to break the news with you than the Fan After Dark, joined by Grant Abseth in studio. The Portland Trailblazers and the Boston Celtics have engaged in a trade. The trade will send Drew Holiday to the Portland Trailblazers for Anthony Simons and 2 second-round picks per Shams Charania. It would have been Grant on the beat, as Kevin said, but we got him on the radio, so we got him away from his job, so we apologize for that. But initial reaction to the trade, boys, I've got mine. I want to hear y'all's. And the text line, 877-881-1053. Are the Boston Celtics no longer dominant with no on-ball defender, Drew Holiday?
Grant?
Well, I think for the most part, they were going to need to shed that salary, make a move. I don't think you're going to be able to make up the on-ball defense, but you are going to be getting a more explosive score.
For sure.
This will be the big opportunity, I think, for Anthony Simons to... We can really see what he's got, like, in that environment where they're needing him to do a little bit more defensively. But I do think he's one of those, like, really high-volume three-point shooting guys that does add a lot of...
The one on Boston.
Yeah, yeah. Like that that will be a contrast from what Drew was bringing.
Him and Derek White, they might shoot 100 threes a game.
Yeah,
And for those of you who haven't been keeping up with the NBA season, Jason Tatum will most likely be out all of next year with the injury that he sustained in the playoffs. So you're looking at Anthony Simons, Derek White, Jaylen Brown. I guess there's only 3 penciled in starters because, you know, Porzingis has kind of been on the trade market, so we'll see if he gets moved. I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you, so if you don't, that's fine. Does this get him under the sacred apron with this trade? The Celtics?
I'm not positive. I think there is a pretty decent gap in the salary.
I think it makes him a lot younger. They do need to make one more move, I think. Because I was reading an article the other day about how, I mean, it's pretty well understood that they're trying to get off of J.Rue, which they already did, and Porzingis. Right? Because Porzingis is making, like, what, 25, 30 million? I mean, it's...
Yeah, he's making over 30, yeah.
Bro, it's bonkers when you look at what Boston... I mean, it's like...
And they're also paying 2 Supermaxes.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, it looks like something like... It looks like 2K with the salary cap turned off. Is what Boston's doing right now.
I think they were paying more in the luxury tax than they were paying their players this upcoming year. It's a lot.
It was never the expectation for, like, keeping them long term, like, beyond, like, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, like, a big gamble for, like, you know, the next 3 years. But Tatum's injury has kind of dissolved that, of course, you know, for next season. And then they're going to have to use it as kind of a transitional period, retool a little bit and see what they got after that.
Would you see them making a move for, I mean, we were talking about this the other day, that apparently crazy offers are coming in for Jaylen Brown. Do you see any situation where they would move off of Jaylen Brown?
Unless it was, like, absolutely undeniably crazy.
Like 5 or 6 first-round picks?
Yeah, like something just super crazy.
I don't think they would do it for that. I think they'd need a player. I don't think they'd move off of him for draft picks.
No, yeah, it'd have to be like a little bit of a downgrade of a player, but still getting crazy.
Right. No, I mean, I think they would get another player, but I'm just saying, like, you're looking at, I mean, with the way, and I heard somebody say the other day that the rumor right now is Giannis could fetch 6 to 8 first-round picks now at this point. Which, what are we doing? 6 to 8 first-round picks?
I got to throw something in there.
Do it.
That's why you open up your trade situation with other teams. You have to have those conversations.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this.
I won't disagree with you.
If the NBA said, hey, we'll give you Cooper Flagg, though, then what?
then I maybe have to consider having coffee with somebody.
Ascension. Then I'm on my way to Ascension Coffee.
Because to me, and like I said, I don't want to get into too much. You guys already know where I stand on this. That, to me, is why the way this all went down. For that reason. Because if I tell you, hey, I'm trading Luka and I get back a first-round pick, AD, and Cooper Flagg, makes that trade look a little bit different at that point.
Yeah, it does, because you can also flip Anthony Davis at some point.
You could flip Anthony Davis this summer. I mean, what'd Champ say? 4 to 5 first-round picks?
Mm-hmm. Which, randomly, just on Pat
just randomly. I mean, while we're
AD,
talking.
4 to 5.
Do you okay.
Okay, so Simon or Anthony Simons is on expiring contract, so I guess that plays a big role on him going to the Boston Celtics. Yeah. And it says Shams also put out just a minute ago, the Celtics remain engaged on trade talks surrounding multiple key players on their roster. So they're not done.
So they're sure. Ready. I mean, it sounds like this new owner's like, look.
And it says multiple key players. I didn't just say multiple players.
Yeah, exactly.
White, you know, that's probably one that stands out as well. They could find some.
Derek White? I'm going to tell you right now, yeah. I'll make a bold claim. If Derek White gets moved, the Celtics are done. I think he is a huge, and people who follow the NBA, this isn't a hot take. He's a huge reason why they have been good.
Yeah.
And if you've got no Tatum, you move off Drew and Derek White, and I don't care who you get back for the most part. I think that really changes how we think about the Celtics. I think Derek White played a huge role in how volatile and good the Celtics were with their three-point volume. If you move off Derek White and get, I don't know, insert player, I don't know, whoever you want to throw in there, then you got Anthony Simons, them, Jaylen Brown, no Porzingis, maybe you do got Porzingis. That Celtics team just isn't as intimidating as it once was.
How old's Desmond Bane?
Ooh, that's a great question. Probably, I'm going to go 27.
Yeah. I
think now, but Derek White's like, what, 32 though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's over 30
isn't he,
sure.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Isn't he a little bit longer
Desmond
than
Bane,
two?
26. Okay, I'll give myself a good guess on that one. And then who'd you ask about next? Derek White?
Derek White. But I think Derek White's like 32.
30 on the dot.
Oh, he's only 30.
He turns 31 on July 2nd.
So about to be 31. I guess what I was going to throw it out to you two is, you know, with this new owner, I mean, look, and this guy had to bring in like 6 or 7 other people as part of his, you know, purchasing group with the Jason Tatum injury. I just wonder if after seeing what the Desmond Bane trade netted the Memphis Grizzlies, I mean, wouldn't you think that Derek White could fetch you 3 or 4 first-round picks at this stage?
Yeah, I would think so.
Or
yeah.
Two or three. I mean, look, you're probably not getting any less than 2 or 3, right?
Yeah, they may
right?
not be, like, not every single pick would be awesome, but maybe you get, like, some of those, like one of those, like, junk filler ones, two good ones, something like
and
that.
And then a couple pick swaps or something like that. Yeah. I mean, I'm just wondering if Boston's kind of looking at the landscape and with the new ownership and saying to themselves, look, we're not going to be a title contender next year anyway. And look, is it worth spending $100 million in the luxury tax to finish 5th in the East?
I love the NBA, man. This is a fun part. Trades happening, guys moving. I bet you in the next couple days another Celtics player gets moved. The way Shams is tweeting about this, like, sounds like it's pretty imminent that Derek White may get moved, or maybe it's Kristaps Porzingis. It's just a fun time to be an NBA fan. We're seeing it reshape right in front of us.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this out to you two. And you mentioned something, and he mentioned this yesterday, and I'm gonna go off of what Shams said. Because look, didn't you find it, the more we talk about this out loud, didn't you think it was ironic or just a little bit cryptic that of all the names he could have thrown out that would fetch 4 or 5 first round picks, he said Anthony Davis?
He did. I think what we're seeing is there's a lot of cooking in the background going on. A lot of teams are like, NBA's over, or season's over, excuse me. Grant mentioned how valuable these draft picks are. Like, a lot of teams either have them or don't want to acquire them or want to move off of them to get players. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of reshaping, and Shams talked about it.
Yeah.
He said he moved his whole calendar around for right after the draft, that most of the activity is going to happen in this month.
Yeah.
Draft, and then a little bit post after. The league is going to look different. Giannis is probably going to be on the move. KD's already moved.
Do we think Giannis is going to get moved, or we think they're going to wait until...
Closer to the trade deadline? I was saying closer to the start of the season, kind of seeing how the offseason...
You think?
That's what I've been hearing, how the offseason plays out. Who's where? Who's this? Should I stay in the East? Should I go to the West? Should I team up with this player? Yeah. Stay on the Bucks? That's what I've been hearing. Maybe Grant's been hearing differently, kind of on the Giannis page of the timeline of when he may get moved.
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's unfortunately been as ambiguous as possible,
right?
Where it's like there's not a trade request. There's not like a – well, obviously, I don't think Milwaukee's going to move him unless he asks for it. That's not, you know, sophisticated stuff. But I don't think he's asked for that yet, of course. So – think it would take for him to maybe see how this offseason plays out, maybe not liking what Milwaukee does to retool the roster around him.
You're going
to
make some major moves.
So that might be the big thing, because he's been somebody that throughout his time in Milwaukee, he's put pressure on them, like to make, to go make a move. You know, speaking of Jrue Holiday, that was the big one, to go out and get him. And, you know, they recently moved on from Chris Middleton, and he's someone that, you know, Giannis really loved to play with. Yeah. So I think they're still looking to, you know, reshuffle the roster. And then they got a weird situation, too, because they got a really aging supporting cast. Like, Brooke Lopez is hitting free agency. He's, like, 37, something like that.
I was
like,
gonna say he's been in the league.
They got a weird roster.
Yeah, they have an expensive roster, and they have one.
Dame's done.
That's getting older. Yeah, like,
I mean, let's call it what it is. Dame's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, an Achilles injury. So that's really challenging.
Dudes don't come back after, what is he, 34, 35? Like, dudes don't come back from Achilles injuries at 34, 35 and are the same.
Khaki Kev sent you some tweets talking about the Celtics salary, if you want to explain to the fans and how everything went down. I'm honestly blown away how the Boston Celtics pulled this out, because I think right now Jrue Holiday is a better defender than Anthony Simons. I think it's pretty obvious. But Anthony Simons is 9 years younger, cheaper, a better offensive player, a better shooter, and you get off the contract and get closer to under the second apron. I think it's an A-plus trade from the Celtics, in my personal opinion, right? Right, just player for player, 2 second-round picks, whatever. I don't know why the Portland Trailblazers would do this. Maybe Grant or you guys can shed some light on this, on why they would do this, because I thought Anthony Simons was a good young player, and the Celtics just got a younger player that was cheaper. So I don't really get it from the Portland side of things. I think Boston, unfortunately, cooked with this one.
Yeah. Boy, they sure did. I mean, when you look at what Anthony Simons, and not to mention from a Celtics standpoint, I mean, look, you owed $72 million to him because he's got a player option in 2027, right? Which, let's call it what it is. He's going to take that player option.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, my man's what, 33, 34 years old? Yeah. So he's going to take that option. All right. So he's going to make $30 million next year. He's going to make $32.4 million in 2026. Then in the final 2 years, $34.8 million and $37.2
million. Crazy.
Of course he's going to opt in.
Portland was like, we'll take it.
I mean, and here, I guess my thing is this. I mean, look, with all due respect, I mean, is J.Rue the kind of, you know, mover that, you know, if you're a Portland, and look, what else are they doing in Portland, right? So I guess it is what it is. But I mean, is he a needle mover in Portland when you look at the rest of that team?
No, I feel like he fits like a glove on a good team, but he's not just on Portland. He's not going to be
That's what I'm saying. I mean, are we getting excited about him, Scoot, and Jeremy Grant? I mean, is that the big three in Portland now that we're going to get excited about?
I think just the long term of, like, what can Scoot, like, take from Jrue is about it.
The right? Yeah. I mean, is that where we're at with this? Which I guess if that's the case, like, hey, we're going to bring in your mentor and hope to God you figure it out. Because I'm a Scoot guy.
Hey, I know we're up against it, but I do like have Scoot. This question. It could be a dumb question. I don't know. Y'all are all
there
basketball
are no dumb
geniuses.
Questions. Well, let's hear what you say first before I say exactly. There's no such thing.
I know Jake Fisher just reported this a little bit, but there are some wondering if Portland might flip Holiday. Is that a possibility?
Oh, it's always a possibility to flip.
Are you saying there might be a reroute?
A little tough. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know how much value there.
Why would you put yourself in that situation? Why would you take on, like, Jrue Holiday? Everyone was like, how are you gonna move off this contract? Portland just did the hard work for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure they'd love to move off him, I would think, but who's gonna take that?
Unless they're gonna get more picks, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. All right, final minute, Grant. First of all, you've been absolutely fantabulous. Can't say enough about the last 2 hours. Overall, what's one thing, Cooper Flagg notwithstanding, that you have your eyeballs on with this Mavericks team between now and when the season starts?
I think there's a couple. I know you asked for one. One on both sides of the ball.
100%. Go for it.
So I think with the way we talked about the roster, the lineup looking, he's going to have to guard, you know, shifty, quick players, you know, backcourt. You know, shot creator type of guys, and seeing how he handles that as a primary.
Okay.
Like, I think he can guard pretty much anybody, but, you know, that's a lot of responsibility to put on somebody who, so it's like a really special player.
Who's not even 19 years old yet.
Yeah. Like, and then a big adjustment, no matter what level when you go up, is the screens. Like, you're going to have to guard quite a bit of action.
This ain't ACC, bro. Yeah. This ain't Boston College.
Yeah, like he at least has, like, behind him, like, Anthony Davis, or, you know, another shot blocker, whether it's Lively or Gafford. So I think that would be a big thing. And then offensively, you know, Jason Kidd in the last couple of years has really this is a very weird segue, but he's wanted PJ Washington to continue to improve his handle to be able to initiate the offense.
Okay.
And so I could see, you know, with Jason Kidd being someone that likes to have the best player had the ball in their hands, like the, you know, top perimeter player. Yeah. I could see, you know, different situations where maybe Cooper Flagg's initiating that offense.
Okay.
And then seeing how they're operating. Like, can you flow into, you know, different stuff like in pick and roll, things of that nature, like early offense. How are they going to utilize that? But also with two bigs, there's less options, I feel like, to put him in different sets. Like if he's on the elbow with Anthony Davis and there's no other big on the floor, I feel like you get a lot of intriguing stuff out of Horns sets and things like that, where a little bit like what you see from him in Duke a little bit, where, you know, there's some tough decisions the center's got to be put in if he's, you know, in those sets. And you got to account for both Cooper and, you know, Anthony Davis or Lively or whoever it may be as that lob threat. So I think stuff like that, just really interested in like the little bit of the nuances on both ends, because it's not like the super cleanest thing for someone who's 6'9" to step into. So it's going to really show his versatility on both ends. And if he handles that, then that's, you know, fantastic show of like what he can be long term, where you can pretty much ask him to do anything and he can handle it. Yeah.
Championship or bust still?
It's hard to say, because when you miss somebody who's so important like Kyrie for so long, a lot of other things can go wrong too.
Oh, absolutely.
So like
you say, I don't know. I haven't watched this Mavericks team for very long. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, what happened last year? You know, like so that it's gonna be really tough if you bring in guards who aren't the most durable either. Like
Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, like
Blake Elliott. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together one more time for the one, the only, Mr. Grant Abseth. Absolutely phenomenal insight, and we will do this again real soon. I appreciate you, big man. The one, the only, Grant Abseth. Go follow him on Twitter, and then, of course, go check him out at DallasHoopsJournal.com. Final hour of the program. Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.